Introducing the NS Micro Clip-Free Tuner. It's a discrete headstock tuning solution that stays put and stays out of sight. Tune up quickly and discreetly.
Tennessee. Thanks so much for joining us.
Oh, yeah, gosh, thanks for having me.
I've been dying to talk to you about this very cool guitar.
Yeah.
Let's hear all about it.
Okay, so this is two-tone, and about 12 years ago, a friend and I built this guitar from scratch.
So, was your friend like a luthier who really knew his thing? Did you really know your luthier thing? Or?
No, not at all.
Really?
I was a total amateur. And I just had this idea that I wanted to have five guitars in one, so I wouldn't have to carry a bunch of guitars, which I do anyway.
You do anyway, but...
I haven't changed my ways.
Yeah.
But he'd built a few guitars, and maybe four or five, and I'm like, that's good enough to build something
cool.
And I was inspired by Brian May building his guitar with his dad when he was 16.
Totally.
So it's basically five different guitars. I love the Firebird body shape and the reverse headstock, but it's pretty big on me, and I wanted to have 24 frets, so I squeezed that in there. These are my favorite colors, so I put them diagonally because I wanted to be a little different.
Yeah,
got
the
Brian May pickups here, and the in and out of phase switches and pickup selectors.
That's great.
And then the Steinberger gearless tuners, and it's about 25 and a half scale length. It's not quite that. Yeah. But it's pushed out, so literally the tune, I have to extend my arm all the way, which I've made a few changes since then to this design.
Yeah.
We've got the LSR roller nut. I play Ernie Ball 9-42, so it's pretty light tension. And then I call it two-tone because it's got two tone knobs, but this is a volume.
I thought two-tone was about the color, but yeah, that makes sense. Okay.
Yeah, people think that, but, just being cheap and want to buy one.
Right.
Come and pack it too. So.
Right, that's great.
Yeah,
okay, so Brian May pickups and the whammy bar, is that a...
Oh yeah, this is just a cheap Fender bridge.
God, that's great.
And it's Carina. I also have the Elitch hum canceling backplate.
Oh.
So it silences most of the 60-syllable hum, which I like a lot.
Yeah.
And I have little things I sometimes talk about, little tributes and... When I got mad, instead of getting a tattoo, I tattooed my guitar.
Totally. That's a better idea.
So, you know, one less thing I'll regret later.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's a minor regret. Yeah.
So, and then I used to have a little Sustainiac thing when I was a lot younger, right in here. So that's what these holes are for. And I just say it's chambered now.
So yeah.
I've been afraid to cover it up.
Yeah, I love that. I love that you've been tweaking it this whole time.
Thank you.
So have you made any, I imagine there's been some adjustments along the way.
Yeah, yeah. I have a few things that I made another one.
So this is your number one.
That's this is my number one.
That's where it all started.
Oh yeah, so this is two-tone, and I'm pretty sure I have the joke that two-tone is more well-known than me because every time I pick it up, I'm like, yeah, now, here we go.
Like
it's kind of when things start. So
yeah.
This is I call this Arrow, and
beautiful.
I wanted a tobacco burst version. We're going to have these out in 2020.
Oh, congratulations. And, that's fabulous.
Thank you. Yeah. But not everybody wants an orange and blue guitar.
Sure. Yeah.
So
it's a little niche-y.
It's quite niche-y for yeah. sure. So I was trying to find a classy, not color, but I guess style
yeah.
of a paint job that could be unique and still have that diagonal
sure.
flavor. So we did my friend Brian Nutter built this one.
Yeah, of course. I know
Brian?
Yeah.
Oh, he's awesome. So he built this, and I have another one like this, and we did a diagonal tobacco burst.
When Brian built that, did you give him two-tone to kind of work from? Or
yeah.
Okay.
So I gave him two-tone, and some of the specs we have, now you can see the neck's a lot shorter. It's actually similar to the Brian May scale length. It's actually 24.
Okay.
So it went down an inch and a half.
Wow.
Which
it's a lot of neck.
It's really a lot. But it has a... it's darker in some areas, but it's got a really nice kind of chimey... Police-y, like
sure.
Andy Summers vibe, which yeah. I like a lot. It's got the man-made classic trem on here.
Oh.
So I upgraded the tremolo just to
cool.
see it, pull-out bar.
Yeah. And so these are
right.
out of phase, or what are your options on those exactly?
Yeah, so right here, there's not going to be anything coming out. These are the pickups.
Okay.
So right, it goes from bridge, middle, and neck.
Okay, just
so,
pickup selectors, and then in and out of phase.
In and out of phase. So if they're yeah. forward, they're in phase. So one of the, Brian May is like...
Yeah, yeah.
Which would be the neck and middle with the neck out of phase. Or he'll do the bridge and neck with one out of phase.
Yeah, how cool.
Yeah, I really like it a lot.
So, granted, you've got to be way more comfortable with your old guitar because you've played it forever, but do you think, which one, I don't know, which is your favorite? Aside from sentimental reasons.
Yeah.
Yeah.
they kind of blend in
yeah.
a little bit. I would say... They're both different.
Yeah.
Two-tone to me has been lived in a little bit.
Sure.
This is only a couple months old. So.
Well, and would the production one be more like this?
As far as specs, it will be closer
yeah.
to this. Two-tone is it's also a neck through, and I didn't find too much of a tonal difference, but I found more so a temperature, a difference in the neck staying stabilized. So this is going to be a set neck, and you can see. And then it's gonna be 24 scale length.
Cool.
And then the neck is gonna be similar to two tone, just a little bit the width, just a little bit less.
How cool.
With the LSR being gone.
And is that an ebony fingerboard?
Yeah, it is.
Wow.
It's pretty dark.
Yeah.
Which I love ebony. And
yeah.
this is a black Limba.
Oh wow! What a pretty guitar.
So it's pretty light, which I like.
Sure. I love it. I love that you made your own guitar. That's great.
Oh, thank you.
Yeah. And the whole Brian May thing is so inspiring,
Oh,
yeah. Like his tone couldn't have happened. He couldn't have bought that tone. He had to make it.
Yeah, it's true. And when you have a guitar that you've made, it's almost like, especially because I've been playing that one so long, it became to me what guitar is.
Yeah.
So now I have this probably bad habit of going into guitar stores and being like, well, I would change that and that, just seeing a guitar
yeah.
off the wall.
Yeah.
So, yeah, it's hard to have a story unless you've had a long time with something to me to feel really sentimental about.
Yeah.
So if there were a fire in the house and I could take one item, it would definitely be two-tone.
Yeah, obviously.
Yeah. Not that, no offense, but.
Yeah.
No offense, but guitars.
But the others are replaceable.
Yeah,
yeah,
yeah, exactly.
Okay, in fact, that's the perfect segue. Let's talk about some of the lesser guitars that
sure.
you care.
Yeah.
Yeah, the second fiddles. The
totally.
Ones you don't care as much about.
Well, that's sad.
Yeah, it's,
they all have stories, though, except maybe
yeah.
this one.
But they can't hear you, so
no,
it's okay.
No, they only put out. They don't necessarily
yeah.
keep in
yeah.
that way. So this is Bijou. They all have names, usually asexual names. They don't
sure.
want them to have genders.
Get it.
So this is Bijou, a 339, which I didn't know existed until about a year ago. I always wanted a 335.
But they're huge.
They're massive.
Yeah,
they are bigger than me. So it just looks silly. And also, you know, you're like this when you play them. So this is a 2009 339. I really like it. I've done some work on it, but it's pretty much stock. I know they stopped making them, so I might go on a little 2009 339 collection.
Yeah, I think they made the and they also made, like, I think it's like the 26 or something too, but a smaller body like that, and they're great.
The 336, they've got all the nice colors though. Those are a lot more expensive than these ones.
Well, the cool thing about them too is that whereas a 335 is basically plywood, I think a 336 is like carved mahogany.
Oh yeah.
So.
Oh, it's nice.
Yeah, they're really great. But this is so great. This sounded great when you're playing it in soundcheck.
Thanks.
Okay, so let's hear all about this. Basically stock.
Yeah, it's stock. I changed a few things, just minor things. Like I thought I was hanging off, so I just kind of altered some of the little slots in the bridge, that's kind of it. I've changed out the tuners because I thought, you know, just basic things you do when you buy a guitar. But for the most part, it's stock, and I've been using the Shure. ULX D1 wireless systems.
Yeah.
Because on the road I don't have a tech with me right now, so I find that with all these cables I get really confused, and I have embarrassingly plugged into my acoustic rig. So me and cables without a tech is not good. So I've actually just been using these as well.
Streamline the whole system. That's great.
Yeah. So I could, you know, put them on, and not to mention when there's a stage with a catwalk, I can go on the catwalk.
Yeah, of course.
So that's always fun.
And speaking of acoustics, you've got this Martin, very cool.
So this is Callie, and this one has a sentimental story, like the next two do. So a friend of mine named Dave Weinerman, he used to be the artist relations of Guitar Center in Hollywood, and I was just a broke musician, and I had a guitar stolen, and I didn't have a nice acoustic. This is the only one I have. I feel like they're so hard to get that really complement a voice.
Yeah.
It was actually his 30th year anniversary at Guitar Center, and they put 20 by accident. But Martin made him this guitar as a gift to give him for his Guitar Center employee anniversary. So it actually says his name in it. And it's got the little Guitar Center logo, and it's just it's just kind of a stock Martin, but
in a D28.
It's just a stock D28, except, you know, it's got the little inlays. But he just said, "Yeah, I'm not a guitar player. You want it?" I'm like, "Oh, yay!" So I really love it.
I gotta look this guy up.
You gotta look him up.
Yeah, he seems like a good friend to have.
He is really sweet. He's always helped me when I didn't have guitars. He's like, "Here you go." So they treated me really well, and I've written I always say this guitar has been to over 27 countries, so it is a little bit. It's probably more well traveled than a lot of people I know.
Yeah, that's great.
So,
and what kind of pickup do you have in it?
I just use a Fishman.
Okay.
And it sounds pretty good. I haven't changed it out.
Yeah, it sounded great. It sounded great.
And then, you know, everything's inside. I didn't really want to cut any holes in it. It didn't even come with any sort of pickup at all.
Sure. And what strings do you run on that?
I use 11s. I use the 8020 Earthwood.
Okay.
By Ernie Ball. I really like those a lot. I find the sweet spots after about 3 gigs, just change them.
Yeah.
But I'm lazy.
Sure. No, I get it.
Now this is a really cool guitar, because Eric Johnson gave it to me, for my birthday.
How cool.
It's actually one of his prototypes for his F-hole.
Oh, wow. That's great.
And it was his, they made it for him. And, it's actually, I think it's number 2 or number 3. He moved the F-hole a little bit this way.
Oh, wow.
So, and it's a little bit more chambered.
So it's earlier here in the development.
Yeah.
That's great.
So he gave me this guitar, and I really like it a lot. I keep it in Dadgad, which is kind of interesting.
Sure. Is that why you don't have the whammy bar on it? Because you're a real whammy bar person.
Yeah I love me some whammy bar. But yeah, it's I just keep it flat.
Yeah.
Tuning is sometimes, it, like, I think two-tone took probably a decade to stay pretty solid.
Really?
Because the bridges I usually have a little bit over halfway, like Jeff Beck, to be able to pull up a minor third on the
sure.
A string. So I needed a guitar, I guess just like the 339 that was just flat. So this is a really cool guitar too.
Just the history behind it, that's amazing.
Oh yeah, yeah. I mean it was one that he didn't want, but he gives away some some good little treats sometimes. So
yeah.
for my birthday a couple years ago.
That's great.
Yeah, so it was really, really cool. This one's name is Rune. So
love
yeah.
It. Okay.
Those are my
very cool guitars. Okay, I think you should switch back to your number one because
okay.
We're gonna talk about amps and pedals.
Sweet.
And you know, two-tone's the one to do it.
Yeah. Oh, definitely.
At home with
two-tone. At home with two-tone.
Okay. Okay. Let's start talking about your amps. Are you running a stereo rig or?
No, it's actually I just use an AB switch. So I never actually use them at the same time.
Yeah.
The it's been a little bit of an experiment. I've been blessed to spend a lot of time with Eric, and he gave me that as well, and he gave me some feedback, which he does often, very honest feedback, which
yeah.
I appreciate. He's like, yeah, you know, when at least for me, this is the Blankenship has a 15-inch speaker, and because of that, I think it's got this really great lead sound, but can be a little bit much on the clean. So I've been using this Divided By as my spare. It's the RSA 31, so just like their AC 30.
Okay.
But it's really tight, and I think it's great for clean. So depending, in different rooms, it obviously is gonna sound different, but you know, it's got that. As opposed to like. So it's very subtle. But in the right, especially with the voice or maybe with as a trio, it adds a lot. So
sure. Yeah, that's great. And the Blankenship, do you know what speaker that 15 is? Like
yeah, it's a full tone.
Okay.
It's a Celestian full tone.
Oh, cool.
Or fullback, sorry.
Fullback.
It's a fullback. And it's a new speaker. It came out maybe
I'm not familiar with this.
4 or 5 years ago.
Oh, cool.
A 15-inch fullback, and it's always funny because I always watch how people mic it because a lot of people don't expect it to be.
Sure.
Like,
yeah, I had no idea that was a 15 in there because it.
Yeah, and yeah. It's got a really great low end, especially with this guitar.
Sure.
I use that for lead exclusively. I won't ever use the RSA 13 for that. And Roy Blankenship is a friend of mine. He actually made me. I love AC 30s, and he made me one just like a combo
oh, cool.
AC 30. And I went in. He made it for me and. I plugged into it. I'm like, yeah, great. I'm gonna buy it. He's like, yeah. Before you do though, just check this guy out. It's called the Fat Boy, with sour cream. So the we've had conversations about the name.
Yeah.
I mean,
it's a solid name. I love it.
I mean,
who wouldn't want a Fat Boy with sour cream?
I personally wouldn't, but
one would argue you can't have a Fat Boy without sour cream.
It's a little nauseating. I'm not gonna lie. I plugged into it directly, and we just clean. This guitar is very low output, but we both looked at each other, and it was this magical moment. I'm like, this is my amp. Like, I will die with this amp.
Yeah.
I mean, you know, at least that's how it felt. And he felt it too. He's a really cool guy. So he's actually made me another one in England that lives there.
Oh.
And it's two-tone color, so it's got, people think it's red. It probably is. It was supposed to be orange, but it's cut in half. So this
oh,
is like
great.
You know, white, red, and blue, or something like that. And it's sparkly. So I've got a couple of these.
Yeah, sounds subtle.
Yeah, oh, very subtle. Yes, very
really
subtle.
Really blend in with that. That's
yeah,
great. Well, they sound amazing.
Thank
and,
you.
Okay, let's get into your pedal board a little bit. It's
yeah.
It's looks not super complex, but there's some stuff. So take us from your wireless from when you hit the board.
Sure. So it's going right into that little little input box there.
Yeah.
That he. So I had Dave Phillips at LA Sound Design make this for me. I've been working with him for the past 8 or 9 years, and he's been really awesome at helping me. Have all these pair well together. I had little pieces that I thought would sound nice, And so it goes to my AB box.
Okay.
So I can go from my lead to my clean and then bypass. So it's going to go from the animal, which J-Rocket.
Sure, J-Rocket animal. So what is that?
So actually, they're from here.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, I'm familiar with, but what is the animal? Is it a drive? Is it a fuzz?
I think it's a drive, and I love it. And I don't know many people who play that one. I think Phil X plays one.
I've never seen one. Yeah.
That's the old one.
Okay, let's hear that bad boy just by its lonesome.
Yeah.
And can you run it through your dirty channel? Yeah, let's hear that.
Yeah.
Oh, no.
I love it a lot.
Yeah, that's a really interesting, almost kind of Eric Johnson-y tune. I love that.
It's funny. People are like, you sound like Eric Johnson. I'm like, we have a couple pedals the same, but lead we don't. But it's, to me, it's, you can actually play chords and get away with it.
Sure.
Because of the clarity inside it.
Yeah, that's great, because it's so warm, but you do hear every note. That's,
totally.
That's great.
You hear it and it... That's hard to do, especially with these two-tone. The 339 is the workhorse because I can plug it into anything and know what we find.
Yeah.
This one sometimes is finicky. So the animal is my go-to, and usually just keep it at whatever, 1 o'clock on gain.
Okay, that's great. Okay, so what's next in this line?
Yeah, so then I just have the Scott's Krispy Kreme. It's a treble booster that has no light, so I use this to see if it's on, because I hit stuff, and especially if I'm over here and the amp is way, I can't really tell.
Yeah.
So that's all that is, and then it goes to the flashback delay, I just lead for my lead channel. Then for my clean, I have my Hartman compressor, which I just, especially when I'm playing guitar, it makes it a lot easier.
Sure.
It adds something.
Yeah.
I feel like it warms it up.
Subtle, but yeah, that's great.
Then the Echo Rec, of course. Catlin Bread Echo Rec.
Yeah.
I love a lot. And then actually, Eric gave me this. This is a real 80s, stereo chorus flange. It was a good one. He still asks for it back. He's like, so? I'm like, nope, it's Velcroed in.
Yeah.
So
super glue that thing in.
Oh, totally. Super glued it in. And then I've got an OCD and then an Analog Man Beano Boost, which honestly I haven't been using lately. But it's usually the clean, I leave all those three on. And then the Animal and the Flashback are usually what I use. So.
Sure.
And then, you know, just...
Wah,
and then Boss Volume, and then I've got this little thing. I don't know if Eric gave me that. I don't know what it is.
It says TS-808.
Yeah,
I don't know. I don't think it is an 808.
I'm pretty sure it's not. It was something at some point.
That's
so
great. And then this is for your acoustic rig over here. Is that right?
Yeah.
Okay.
So I find a lot of times I'll go to venues and they're like, oh, we don't have reverb. Like, oh, that's very unfortunate.
Right.
To have a dry DI acoustic guitar is
they're unplayable. When it ruins your tone, you can't, what do you do?
You're screwed.
You carry
happens,
your own stuff. That's what you do. Yeah.
So especially with the voice, it doesn't matter where I go. I can plug into any little PA rig and it sounds awesome. So I've got, it's a wet, dry, wet. So all these effects are stereo. And so what I do is, usually if I've got the time, it has the three XLRs, the two wet, and then the one dry going into the LR bags,
mm-hmm.
with the option of just, whatever quarter inch jack going into a DI and being
sure.
mono. I've got the Mel-9. It's okay. I wanted something, especially if I'm just doing solo acoustic.
Yeah.
That, if you're 45 minutes by yourself, that could spice something up.
Right.
I love the Mellotron. I think it might sound better with the electric, but it's an experiment.
Yeah, good for you, yeah, see what it does.
Yeah, I've got the mini vent, and then I've got the Flashback again, and I do have the Boss RC1 looper. And then this little guy actually goes to my TC Helicon Voice Live Extreme. Oh. So all it does is it feeds the chords that I'm playing, so the harmonies can be accurate, which, you know, you're like, oh, it's just an A, you know, yeah. Until you do a key change and your harmonies are still an A.
Right. That's great.
So it's simple, but it does a really good job.
And Voodoo Labs Pedal Power is giving you the juice on all this jazz.
Yeah. And I know some people, I know there's kind of pros and cons, at least, that people say about tone, but it seems that and the wireless are a lot of times no-nos, but I think it doesn't affect it much at all, if any. So
yeah,
the convenience is good.
And anything you might lose, you can tweak in with your ear. So
totally. Yeah. Plus, yeah. If you're in a funny sounding room anyway, nothing's gonna help.
Right.
So it's kind of just luck of the draw that day,
right.
I guess.
Well, it's funny. You sound great in this room. This is
really?
I've played here a lot, and I'm always too damn loud.
Yeah,
I think
yeah.
You've just dialed it in. It sounds great. So good to your front of house guy too. So
yeah,
yeah.
That's good.
Yeah.
Good to hear.
So you're gonna have a great show. Sounds great.
Oh.
Pleasure to meet you. Congrats on everything.
Oh, thank you so
Love
much.
Love the idea of getting that out for people. That's fabulous. So
thank you.
So catch her on the road. She's great.
Yeah. Thank you.